Before I read the scripture this morning, I want to take a moment of personal privilege to tell you some things about this past week. And Wednesday, when Nevin passed away, our pastor got the phone call from the text from Suzanne that she was heading to the hospital. And our pastor immediately left here to be with her and console her. And not only that, Terry and Pastor Ken were with Suzanne when she had to make the sad news to her mother that Nevin had passed away. And the next day, your pastor was with Suzanne when she made the final arrangements for Nevin. And I don't know where in your prayer list that you put our servants, Terry and Ken, but every night I say to the good Lord that there is nobody that I'd ever want to be with in the time of grief than these two. So praise God that they serve this community and serve this church in all their glory. Thank you both. And also, another moment of personal privilege, and he's going to be embarrassed when I do this to him, but our pit master, as I called him, Brian Moats, I don't have any idea why God steered him to this church, but I'm thankful that he did. But when I sent out a message saying how much money we make on a dinner, and I say in there that glory to Brian for what he does, he donated every single thing that went into that dinner. So that means that we have more money to do missions in this church. We have more?
Yes.
We have more money to send to the Cryer Center for their missions, more for Rise Against Hunger, more for UMCOR for their duties and just other missions that come up during the year. So, Brian, one big thank you for everything you do for this church. So now we'll go to our readings this morning, our Old Testament reading. It's found on page 243. It comes from Ruth, and it continues on page 244. Ruth, the third chapter, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll continue into chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Ruth 3, 1 through 5. Naomi, my mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman, Boaz, with whose young woman you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Our New Testament reading is from Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 24 through 28, and may be found on page 224 of your New Testament Bible. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, But he entered into heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear his sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen. When we read that story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, in the Old Testament, they're very much children of Abraham, and they draw their lineage very exclusively. Anybody want to venture what Ruth was? She wasn't a Jew. She was a Moabite. I mean, one would say socially unacceptable to most people. But what does she do? She could have gone back to Moab. She could have gone back to her family when her husband passed away. But she stays with Naomi, her mother-in-law. And she says, where you go, I will go. Your family will be my family. Your God will be my God. She, out of love and affection for Naomi, anchors her life with Naomi. Now that's quite a risk to take. Naomi said, go. Be where you'll be comfortable with your family. And Ruth said, no, I will go with you. Now, that's a great story. And the story of her meeting Boaz and the child that comes of their union. Obed, and farther down the line, Jesse, and farther down the line, just on the next step, is David. And from David comes Jesus. So, you know, you can talk about people who, you know, you want to be racist, you want to be, you know, some way of generating hate or difference or stuff like that. You know, we're all of one family. We need to start acting like it. We don't all agree. Any family in here where everybody agrees? Virginia, everybody in your family agree with you? Okay. Lee? You got a bigger family than that. Don't say that. It's an unrealistic expectation to think that we're all going to agree. But we can get along. We don't have to be throwing stuff at each other. We don't have to be standing outside somebody's house screaming, we know where you sleep at night. Excuse me. What kind of insanity is that? One, it's against the law. And the other is it's just plain unacceptable in a civilization. Because there's something that we all count on, and that is people treating others as people. You don't have to agree with them. Terry doesn't agree with me a lot, but she loves me and is willing to put up with a lot. Now that's a testament. We all need to understand each other's differences and accept them and live with each other, even if we don't agree. Why? Well, because Jesus Christ died for us. Why? To save us. Why? Because we're sinful. Why? Because we're crazy and we yell and scream at each other and we want to kill each other. The wages of sin is what? Death. So Jesus comes to bring us what? He brings hope, faith, love, sacrifice, body given, bloodshed, redemption, and salvation. That's what Jesus brings. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 24, Christ did not enter a sanctuary made of human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Jesus didn't have to appear before God for salvation. They're one and the same. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, always been there. How do we understand the Trinity? They are one. But Jesus comes and becomes wholly human and gives us that Christmas gift that will never break. We'll learn more about that in our five-session study for Advent. The writer of Hebrews is drawing a corollary or a contrast between the Jewish high priest and Jesus as the new high priest. The Jewish high priest had to enter into where? He would go into the Holy of Holies, inside the temple in Jerusalem, which was made by whom? I mean, Solomon got to build it eventually, but it's a man-made place. Jesus enters where? Into the kingdom of heaven, into the presence of God, not by man's hands. Jesus is a much greater offering for us. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest. Every year, the high priest would first offer a sacrifice for his own sin, and then after offering that, would then go in and offer an unblemished calf, sheep, lamb, whatever. But they had checked it first to make sure that there was no outside exterior blemish on that animal that they were offering, because they needed it to be a pure and unblemished offering. Well, Jesus Christ is pure and unblemished. But think about this. The offering, the calf or the cow or the sheep or the goat that they offer, all they can do is check the exterior. They can check the coat. They can check the teeth, the eyes, all of the exterior. They can't tell the interior. They can't tell the inside of that animal, whether there's a blemish, whether there's an imperfection. Jesus Christ is perfect from the outside in, from the inside out. There is no blemish on him. And instead of offering again and again, one time for all, you don't have to worry about salvation. Jesus has already paid the price for your salvation. He did it 2,000 years ago. Okay? You don't have to worry about that. What you do need to do is come to a point where you accept it. And accept Jesus Christ. Not just the salvation. You accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As your personal Lord and Savior. Your parents can't save you by their salvation. They can lead you to the Savior, but you yourself personally make that confession and accept Jesus into your life and ask Him to come in. That's what you do, you individually, each and every one of us. Jesus knows every little piece of us. He knows when we're smiling. He knows when we've stubbed our toes. He knows when we've said something mean and nasty and rotten to our sister or our brother. Jesus appeared once for all at the end. Jesus, as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it was appointed for mortals to die once, and after that, the judgment. So, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting Him. Jesus dies once for an expiation of our sin. Done. Last words on the cross. It is finished. Not only does that happen, is at the same time this is being said, the curtain in the Holy of Holies in the temple is ripped from top to bottom. There's now no longer any impediment between the outside and the inside of the temple. We have a new high priest who can intercede for us, who's already given his life for us. For you, for me, for all of us. We will all die once. Now we want our parents and our siblings to live long, healthy lives. But we know we're not going to be here forever, that we're going to pass. But we also know that Paul says, absent in the body, present with the Lord. Paul says again and again, I would rather there, but for now, I'm here. Each of us has something here that we're supposed to do. I don't know what it is. I don't know how many people we're supposed to encounter, how many things we're supposed to do, and how many opportunities going to give us to get it done right. Because maybe we've done it once, but we didn't do it quite the way it was supposed to be done, and He's given us an opportunity to practice a little bit and get better at it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How many were perfect at that the first time? Yeah, it's one of those gifts that keeps on giving. We get to work on that each and every time, each and every day. But Christ, who dies once, He's going to come again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in Revelation 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what happens? Trumpet sounds. Clouds part. Jesus descends. Jesus is coming down. It's going to be glorious. And what happens? The graves give up the dead. Those that are in Christ and alive rise together and meet Him in heaven. And where do we go? We go with Jesus to a new heaven and a new earth. A new Jerusalem. Resurrection bodies. No longer cancer. No longer arthritis. No longer pneumonia. No longer hatred. Greed. Envy. Sloth. All of those sins evaporate. And we do that because He saves. Now, He's done what needs to be done to start. But each and every one of you, I've called again and again to be disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who follows. Now, if you're following Him, just like He told the man who came and said, what must I do for eternal life? He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Now, how do you do that? The only way that you and I can become disciples of Jesus Christ is if we accept Him into our hearts and have a personal relationship with Him where we're following Him. Not what somebody else says about Jesus Christ. But you get a personal relationship with Him and you start following Him. Doing what He did. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Well, okay. Get into the Scriptures and find out how Jesus did love people. And emulate that. Follow that. Disciples of Jesus Christ, call Jesus into them. The Holy Spirit will then start transforming you. That's that sanctification process. Anybody in here perfect yet? Come on, Dick. What do we say every year at annual conference? That we believe we're moving on to perfection? We're not there yet. The key is, exactly. Exactly. It's not that we're there yet. He's saved us. He's paid the debt. But what are we supposed to be doing? We're moving in the right direction. And if we're moving in the right direction, who are we following? Not a politician. Good or bad, left or right, I don't care. But you're not following them, you're following Jesus Christ. Even if they're following in the right way, don't follow them, follow Christ. Because they take a side, just like every one of us. If you're following somebody, someone, they can fall astray. Focus on the one who saves. Let him be the one you follow. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now that means you got to get in to the book. Because the book is filled with words. What is that? The Word of God. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created without Him. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us so that we have a Savior, the Savior, Jesus Christ, and Him we follow because He saves. Shalom. Our hymn of invitation is number 513, Soldiers of Christ, Arise. Number 513.